This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Good to have you listening today. And today, I am just delighted to have a man that is known around the world. And Richard Roberts is with me today. He is the CEO of Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association. He and his wife, Lindsay, host a nationally syndicated TV program, The Place for Miracles, an interactive daily broadcast that reaches out to millions. On this unique healing program, Richard ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit, praying for those who are sick or hurting in some area of their lives, and often giving specific words of knowledge about how God is touching people with his healing power. The Place for Miracles has received more than 141,000 phone calls to date from viewers who have reported miracles and answers to prayer. In addition to his responsibility at OREA, Richard also served as president of Oral Roberts University for 15 years. He founded the Richard Roberts School of the Spirit in 2010 to help equip Christians with practical experience at applying God's Word and His healing power in their lives. In 2013, the school expanded, became known as the Richard Roberts School of Miracles. Richard has authored a number of books, booklets, and other inspirational materials, including his most recent book, He's a Healing Jesus and When All Hell Breaks Loose, Facing Your Fire Trials with Faith. And Richard, it's good to have you today. I just believe that something good is about to happen.
Well, thank you very much, Dale. I agree with you. Something good is going to happen to you today.
Thank you. Well, it's good to have you on BPN Radio. I've been looking forward to having you on. And tell us about your journey. I know you've been asked thousands of times, what was it like growing up in the home of such a well-known evangelist by the name of Oral Roberts? How was that?
How much time do you have, Dale?
Well, I guess you can give us the short version. Give us a report of your journey there, and we're eager to hear your story.
Dale, it's an honor to be with you there. God bless you, and thank you for the invitation. Growing up as Oral Roberts' son was both good and bad. It was good from the standpoint that I loved my father, and I loved his ministry, and I stood by his side. When I was a child, I was all over the world with him, and I loved to stand by him when he prayed for the sick. And oftentimes, he would have me lay hands on them, not realizing myself that the day would come when I would have my own healing ministry. It was bad because I was the butt of all the jokes at school, mm-hmm. from the students, from the teachers, and it was very rough. I was criticized heavily. I was ostracized because of who my father was. And the world hated him, and because of that, we children in the family caught the wrath. And it was difficult. It drove me away from God. And much of the church in those days treated my father badly as well, and that hurt me. And it drove me away from God. But when I was 19, I came back to God and got my life straightened out, got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in 1968, I joined my dad and stood by his side for more than 40 years in everything that he did and said and wherever he went, and I was a part of it. And I'm honored to be the son of Oral Roberts. People say, you know, you look like your father. Well, you know, if you have seen me, you've seen the father.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly sound like your dad. There's no doubt. And I'm sure it was difficult. Trying to step out of his shadows into your own ministry. And I know, of course, that you've had a tremendous impartation from your dad as far as healing is concerned. But I know that it's probably been maybe a challenge to take the next step. And we're praying today. We're calling America to pray every day for certain things. And today we're calling America to pray for people that want to take their next step. And I just, as I was praying over this broadcast, I felt like that this will be an outstanding time. I was listening to Casting Crowns, which I'll play their song a little bit later on, Taking Your Next Step. And if there's anybody that should know how to take a next step, it should be Richard Roberts, because you took a step into the presidency of ORU, and then you took a step out. So can you talk about maybe people that are listening that are saying, how do I take my next step? How do I overcome challenges? How to overcome disappointments and discouragement and moving out of one arena, moving out of one season into another season? I believe you could really help us today. How was it when you took the presidency of ORU following your dad, and then you went into another season? How did that all work? How did you make a successful transition?
Well, Dale, I was the beneficiary of great advice. The Apostle Paul said we have not many fathers. He didn't say we don't have enough. He just said there aren't many. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful in those years that I had my father as my mentor. And my father helped me to stay on the straight and narrow path. When the time came for him to step down as president of the university after having served more than 25 years, he looked outside to others to take the presidency, but he couldn't find anyone who would keep it on the Holy Spirit and healing, which is what the university was founded upon. And so he turned to me. And frankly, I didn't want to do it, but he told me that there was no one else who would keep the school centered on the Holy Spirit and healing, and that I should pray about it and ask the Lord what he wanted me to do. Well, I prayed about it, and my wife and I prayed about it, and we felt led of the Lord to do it. So I served in that capacity for 15 years and graduated, I guess, some 7,000 students during my tenure. But Dale, my heart has always been in evangelism. The major reason I didn't want to be a university president was not anything against the university, but I was an evangelist in the healing ministry and crusades all over the world. And God had put in me healing. And I had prayed in my early adulthood that God would give me a double portion of the spirit that had rested upon my father. I had seen that Elisha got it, and God is no respecter of persons. So if Elisha could get a double portion of Elijah's anointing, then I could get a double portion of the anointing of Oral Roberts. And my father had always told me in those years, prophetically, that the double portion anointing was reserved for his son. He said, Richard, when I die, many people will seek my anointing, but it's not for them, because the anointing is passed generationally. Mm-hmm. And so that anointing came on me in its fullness when my father passed away some 9 years ago, but it came partially before that. You mentioned transitions and struggles. Everyone faces difficulty. You tell me someone who's never had a problem, and I'll show you someone that's not a human being.
Yeah.
I mean, we face problems. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We slip. We fall. Paul said, I'm chief among the sinners. Mm-hmm. He said, when I try to do good, bad is around me all the time. We all make mistakes. We all, but we don't wake up in the morning and say, hot dog, Jesus, I'm going to make a mistake today. You know, we usually find out afterwards. Mm-hmm. And something that the Lord has been dealing with me about is something that my father taught me years ago. When you go from mountain peak to mountain peak, you have to go through a valley to get to the next mountain. Mm-hmm. You can't jump from a mountaintop to another mountaintop. You remember the mountaintop experience that Jesus had when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John, his cousin. And the Holy Spirit came down, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, you talk about a mountaintop experience. I mean, John said, I ought not be baptizing you. You ought to be baptizing me. Mm-hmm. Here comes the Son of God. Well, the next thing you know, Jesus is in the wilderness with the devil. When you have a mountaintop experience, the next thing likely to happen is the devil is going to hit you up the side of your head with a lead pipe.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to face some battles and struggles. And the good news is we can stand up to that because we know in whom we believed, and we know that greater is he who's in us than he that is in the world. Now, something that has been on my heart the past few weeks especially, God gave me a revelation back in January as I was ministering at Kenneth Copeland's ministers' conference in Fort Worth. He gave me a phrase. He said, when the pattern is right, the glory will fall.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own life, I'm constantly working on the pattern. You know, things in this world that are made are made oftentimes by patterns. They have a pattern in which they make clothing. They have a pattern in which they make shoes and other things. Even make a car. There's a pattern that's laid out with the steel and the metals. We have to get the pattern right. Abraham became the most blessed man of his day because he got the pattern right. He discovered through an encounter with Melchizedek the priest and the king of Sodom, he discovered that God was Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, and the one who delivers him from all of his enemies. And when he got the pattern right and understood who God was, he then understood who he was so he could become what God wanted him to be. And when we get the pattern right with our lives, suddenly we know what to do, we know where to go, and we know what to do when we get there. Joshua and the children of Israel got the pattern right when they heard the voice of the Lord to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and then ask the priests to blow the ram's horn, the trumpets, and the walls would fall flat, and God would give them the city of Jericho. And when they obeyed and got the pattern right, then the glory fell. Getting the pattern right requires using your faith. It requires obedience. It requires planting your seed unto God. It requires being a person of holiness. It requires you doing exactly what God said. And when you do, then God's glory can fall in your life. And that's what I'm doing. Now, I'm a person who has made many mistakes in my life, but I have learned from them. I have benefited, and there is a seed of equivalent benefit every time something like that happens. Every time something bad happens, something good can come out of it. Some people would call it a silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
But you always learn through your mistakes. You learn through things that go wrong so that you can change them, and you can become better, and you can do a better job for God. And as I've gotten older, I'm 68 now, I learn and am learning, and I hope I continue to learn how to get the pattern right so the glory of God can fall in my life and so that I can be a blessing. Not just so that I can be blessed, although I certainly want to be blessed, but so that I can become a blessing to others.
I agree. Very good. Very good. So let me ask you a question. When you stepped down from being the president of Oral Roberts University, how did you step into your next season? I know some people can step out of one place and they have to step into another place. So there's that transition period.
Sure, it was not an easy transition. I had done that. I had laid down my healing ministry for a number of years. I'd only just sort of touched it a few times a year because I was so heavily involved in a major university with 5,500 students and, you know, hundreds of faculty and staff. And
mm-hmm.
It was a difficult transition, but it was also an easy transition because I know who I am. And I don't think so highly of myself that I can't adapt to what God is calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to give you another example, if I could answer it this way, about a year and a half ago, I was getting up early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was getting up for my time of prayer. I always have a time of prayer before sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting on the edge of my bed, kind of rubbing my eyes to kind of get awake, when all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, your healing crusade ministry is coming to an end. And I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, your crusades are coming to an end. And I thought to myself, Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, this is what I have done most of my adult life. And he reminded me of a prophetic word that my father gave over me before he died. My father had said, "Son, when you get into your mid-60s, you will become a minister to ministers. And you will teach them the principles that I have taught you on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith." Well, the Lord reminded me of that word of prophecy, and I had forgotten about it, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, your crusade ministry, you're traveling in nations, primarily third world nations, and conducting healing crusades. Those days are coming to an end, and I'm going to shift you into the next season of your life. And he said, as a sign, you will no longer receive invitations from presidents and prime ministers and ambassadors to nations. And I've had hundreds of invitations like that. I've laid hands on 36 heads of state in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said, all those will dry up, and instead you'll start getting invitations to ministers' conferences, to touch ministers, to touch the next generation of ministerial leaders around the world. Well, Dale, it's been a year and a half, and I've not had one nation invite me for a healing crusade.
Wow.
But I've had scores of ministers' conferences contact me to come and teach their ministers on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. I'm going to Ghana, West Africa, in just a couple of weeks, where I'm conducting a pastor's conference from pastors all over the nation. And what they want me to teach on is healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. I'm doing the same thing in Italy. I'll be doing the same thing in India. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing at Kenneth Copeland's conference here and others. And so I'm in a transition right now. And I'm trying to get the pattern right, you see, so God's glory can fall.
Well, that's incredible, Richard. What happens to a person when they have all kinds of invitations in one arena, and the brook dries up? I know that a lot of ministers and leaders wrestle with this. How do they deal with their self-worth, saying, "Hey, I'm not getting any more invitations now. What is wrong with me?" How do ministers and Christian leaders deal with that?
Well, you know, Elijah must have thought, "Hey, I've got no more invitations. The brook has dried up." Excuse me. What am I going to do? Just sit here and die? I mean, the ravens have stopped coming. They've stopped bringing those cheeseburgers from the sky, and the water's dried up. Now, what am I going to do? Well, he got still and he got quiet, and God spoke to him and said, "Go to Zarephath." Everybody, every minister has a Zarephath they need to reach out to.
Yeah.
We need to get quiet. We need to pray in tongues and ask God to give us the interpretation and show us where to go. And Elijah got quiet, and God spoke to him and sent him to Zarephath, where he was sustained and really began what I think is the greater part of his ministry once he got back to Israel, because he had to deal with King Ahab and he had to deal with 450 prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
God has a Zarephath for everyone.
Yeah. I agree with that. I see so many, Richard, I see so many pastors and Christian leaders stepping out of the ministry, stepping aside. You know, statistics tell me that 1,500 ministers are leaving ministry every month. 7,000 churches are closing. What is happening, and what is the remedy?
Well, Dale, I think that if I could be completely honest with you, there are some men who never really were called into the ministry in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, and I'm not categorizing everyone. I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But there are some who couldn't get a job doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who never really had a calling. Maybe they had a desire, but they didn't really have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really get after it. They expected it to happen on its own. And anyone who thinks that ministry is easy ought to try it for 6 months.
Yeah.
People think it's a vacation to be a preacher. People say, "Well, hey, I'd like to go with you to Africa and have a vacation on your crusade." Well, the glory fades about 9 o'clock in the morning. it's just good old fashioned hard work. But I know people today who are in ministry who are miserable because they never really were called into ministry. Perhaps they were forced by their parents, or perhaps someone thought that they were. You have to really have a calling of God. And, of course, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And if that call is on you, you have to answer it. But there, and they're also, in opposition to that, there are also men and women right now who have a call of God on their life, and they're running from it. Mm-hmm. And they're not pastoring, and yet they're called to. They're not an evangelist, and yet they're called to. I think it really comes down to calling. And if you're called, then you have to make a choice. Are you going to be true to that calling? Are you going to obey it, no matter whether it's hard or not? There have been times when I wanted to run away and hide. I know my father told me of many times he wanted to quit because of the opposition and because of the difficulty he had in getting the money to do what he had, what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, he wanted to quit dozens of times. Elijah wanted to quit. I mean, he hid out under a tree saying, "I'm the only one, God, that's serving you." You know, mm-hmm. Everybody has moments like that. But if you have a real calling of God in your life, then you just have to stiffen up your backbone and say, "God, no matter what it takes, I'm going to stay in there and fight. I'm just going to keep showing up." Yeah. One of the best advice I ever got was from John Osteen, who was a mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put all of John's kids through school, including Joel. I've known all the Osteens, you know, for all their lives. Mm-hmm. John used to say to me, "Richard, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up."
That's good.
And my dad would always say, "Richard, stay in there and fight. Stay in there and fight." Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sympathetic. I'm sympathetic to the plight of those you're talking about. But also, I would say to those men and women, if they're called, stay steady.
Yeah.
Stay in there and fight. Yeah. Hang in there. Hold on in Jesus' name.
I agree.
And look for that Zarephath that he has for you.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. I will, and in just a few moments, I want you to pray, if you will, because we made a commitment here. We're not going to talk about anything we can't pray about. However, the Holy Spirit leads you, because I know that you certainly are a Spirit-led man. I do want to say before I forget what a major influence the Roberts family's had on my life. I mean, when I was a boy, I would watch your dad on television. My life changed when I was a teenager. I went to one of his crusades in Anadarko, Oklahoma. There was a tent there, and I watched how he worked with the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit influenced my life. My mother went to City of Faith. I believe that your dad probably was a man before his time, but he definitely had a God idea revelation of mixing medicine and healing. And you know, my dad was a pastor, a preacher. My parents never had to pay a dime for their medical help at City of Faith. I was sitting there with my mother when she went to be with the Lord at City of Faith. My daughter attended ORU. So, you know, I have a debt of gratitude there, the Roberts family.
Can I interrupt you a second?
Sure.
Was, by any chance, was the Anadarko meeting you were in the 60s?
It was. The early 60s.
Was it 1963?
It was in the 60s, early 60s. I'm not sure what year.
The reason why I ask is an interesting, just a quick little note story. If my memory is correct, I would have been about 15, I guess. My father went to Anadarko for that meeting because that's where the annual Oklahoma Indian Exposition is, mm-hmm. or at least it was in those days. Mm-hmm. And there's a Native American Indian blood in my family. Cherokee and Choctaw on my dad's side. And my dad was voted American Indian of the Year in Anadarko.
Wow.
And he went down there to get that award. And he said, "Well, since I'm here, I'm going to have a little crusade while I'm here." And I have photographs of him riding a horse down the main street of Anadarko with an Indian headdress on and wearing this emblem that they gave him for being the American Indian of the Year. And I'll bet it was the same meeting that you were in.
Wow. Well, it certainly impacted my life, Richard. It's good to have Richard Roberts on with me today on BPN Radio. Richard, how can we help you take your next step? That's what we're talking about today, how people take their next step. I believe that everybody must have partners to help take their next step. How can people reach you? How can they help you? What God has called you to do for your present assignment?
Dale, thank you for asking. I just touched on it briefly a moment ago without giving any details. as a part of this new season of my life and ministering to ministers over the last year and a half, since the Lord told me that my crusade days were coming to an end and I would be reaching out to ministers, in the last year and a half, I've developed a new tablet, and I've downloaded on the microchips more than 18,000 pages of resource material from our ministry, more than 250 hours of audio and video as well. And I'm taking those tablets into third world nations to reach out to underdeveloped nations pastors who are in areas where there is no internet. There are many places in the world, in the third world especially, where there are ministries who are not in the cities. They're in the bush, they're in the desert, they're in the jungles. They have no internet and no hope of getting internet. Mm-hmm. They have virtually no training, and they have no one pouring into their lives. And what I'm doing in Ghana in 3 weeks, I'm having a conference with 300 African pastors, and the prerequisite to get into the building is you have to be in an area where you have no internet. Mm-hmm. I'm taking these tablets. For 3 days, I'm teaching the pastors, I'm laying hands on them, I'm anointing them with oil, I'm ordaining them under the flag of the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, and then I'm giving them one of these tablets in order to help benefit their ministry. Most of these pastors have, 80% of these pastors have had no formal training, none whatsoever. They just have a zeal and a passion and a calling to pastor. They have 25 people, 50 people, 100 people in their little brush arbor churches out in the deserts, mm-hmm. out in the jungles, in the places like that where there's no internet. Mm-hmm. That's the next season in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm translating it now into other languages. I'll be going to India next. I'm translating it into the Telugu language, where 100 million people speak Telugu in central and southern India. And I have pastors there waiting for me. That's the next step in my life. And I'm giving people an opportunity to help sponsor those tablets by sowing seed into the Oral Roberts ministry.
Wow, what an amazing opportunity.
Now I'm not selling them, Dale. You understand? I'm giving them.
Okay.
It's a gift. I've got a lot of expense in doing it, but I'm giving it as a gift.
So how can we help you?
Well, you can sow a seed in the Oral Roberts ministry. You can call the Abundant Life Prayer Group at 918-495-7777. You can write me in care of the Oral Roberts Ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'll be honored to receive your gift and set my faith with you that God will use it mightily and then multiply it back in the way you need it most.
What about, you have a website?
OralRoberts.com.
Okay.
We've never changed it. OralRoberts.com is the website.
All right.
All the information is online, by the way.
Okay. OralRoberts.com, if you want to invest in Richard Roberts ministry there as he steps into his new thing, new season. Richard, why don't you, however the Holy Spirit leads you, I know you operate in the word of knowledge, and however the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, I'm going to play some worship music, and you can pray before you go today. It's really good to have you on.
Right.
I'm honored.
Well, thank you very much. Do you want me to pray now? Or
yeah, you can pray. No, you can go for it now.
All right. Father, we just give you honor and give you praise today. You are God, and we are your children, and we love you and praise you and give you honor and give you glory. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to send your Son Jesus that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In the authority of the name of Jesus, now I stretch out my faith toward all who are listening today. Satan, I adjure you by the authority of Jesus' name, you take your hands off of God's property. You loose every man and every woman listening to my voice right now. And I say to you who are listening, you belong to God. You do not belong to the devil. You are God's property, and Satan has no inherent right in your life.
Yes.
I come against every sickness. I come against every disease. You foul, tormenting sickness. You come out in the authority of Jesus' name. And I send the word to you according to Psalms 107, verse 20, which says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I send the word to you for healing in your mind, in your body, in your finances, in your family, in your business, in your job, in your ministry, in your marriage, in every area of your life, from the crown of your head even unto the soles of your feet. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you.
Yes.
And for you to get the pattern right, seeking the Lord, using your faith, being obedient to His word, planting your seed, so that the glory of God will fall in your life, so that you will know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it when you get there. In the authority of Jesus' name, I pray and I believe. And Dale, I set my faith with you right now for this to be done. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. I set myself in agreement with you, Richard Roberts. Thank you so very, very much for being on BPN Radio today. And what a blessing you are. And
an honor.
And God bless you as you step into the very next thing of your life, because I speak blessings upon you and encourage everybody to go to orroberts.com. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. God
blessings.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I spend all my time dreaming what the future's gonna bring. When all of this time, there's a world passing by right in front of me. Set my sights on tomorrow. Well, I'm tripping over today. Who says big things are somewhere off in the distance? I don't want to look back just to see all the times that I missed it. I want to be here and now, starting right here, right now. With the very next words of love to be spoken, to the very next heart shattered and broken, to the very next way you're gonna use me. Show me the next thing. Very next breath, breathe out a song of praise to you. Let my very next step be on a road that was planned by you. Lord, wherever you're leading me, that's where I wanna be. With the very next words of love to be spoken, to the very next heart shattered and broken. Every next way, you're gonna use me. Show me the next thing. I'll do the next thing.
Eyes wide open, I see you working all around me. You're on the move. Step by step, I'm running to meet you. In the next thing.
Been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you. their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
It's gonna be worth it all. I believe all. be worth it all. I believe this. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it. You're gonna be worth it all. I know.
I say thanks for the things you've done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee.
Against the water. Now I'm waiting, if you please. We've longed to see the roses, but never never felt the thorns and bought our pretty crowns, but never paid the price. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here. Against the water, now I'm waiting if you please. We didn't count on suffering, we didn't count on pain, but if the blessing's in the valley, then in the river I will wait. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river.
Cause I'm tired, overwhelmed and them cry, running scared, and I feel so out of control. This is the place you want me to be. If this is the plan you have for me, oh my Father, hold me close. Oh my Father, you can't let go. If you love me, how am I to know? 'Cause I've been fighting ragged arms, and I'm dying to see your heart. Now it's time I have to let you know. If this is the place you want me to be, if this is the plan you have, my eyes, I won't lose sight.